to God. Y'all doing well tonight? God is so faithful. He's so for us. He's so with us tonight. Glory to God. Tonight, I just felt impressed of the Lord, and so we're going to go with what He was speaking to me. I want to talk to you tonight about what is faith. If you'll turn to Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll read out of there, but in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, it says that without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. How many want to please God? Amen. Right? When you get to heaven, you know, you want to hear, well done, you know, thou good and faithful servant. You don't want to hear, well, you're done. Right? You want to hear, well done. And the way that we please Him is our faith. Right? And we're going to talk about faith a little bit. What is it? How does it operate? What is it that we need to look at and be ever conscious of? I will tell you this before we start into the verse, that you have faith. Everybody has faith. In fact, God, in Romans chapter 12, it says that God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. And in that faith, it's connected to what He's purposed for you in your life. So you have to have faith. So we need to know what that is, what that looks like, and what it means. So in the New King James Version, in verse 1 of Hebrews 11, says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen." Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance. And what does that mean? Faith, in another translation, says it's the realization. It's when you come to the place where you know that you have what you're aiming for, what you're shooting for. We'll talk about that. But in the Passion translation, it says this. Now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things longed for. Let me say that again because this is so good. Now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things longed for. So what we're going to talk about is what is faith and you know, do I have it? How do I get it? Jesus, when He was here, He said to several people, "You have little faith." Others, He said, "Where is your faith?" And then to others, He said, "Great is your faith." In fact, He said, "I've never seen this much faith, even in all of those who are in Israel." Right? And what was He saying? These are the folks that have been in church the whole time. These are the people who've had the Bible read to them over and over again. These are the people who should have faith, but they don't. But this one woman heard something, and it went off on the inside of her, and it was so real to her that she acted on what she heard. So good. So faith is the substance. Another translation says, faith is the warranty deed. Faith is the warranty deed. What does that mean? That means, you know, like if you buy a piece of property, you buy a car or something, and they give you a piece of paper that says, now legally this is yours because you paid the price for it. So faith is like a warranty deed. When you have your faith, even though you don't see it, even though it's not in right in front of you, you have no earthly feelings or proof that what God has promised is yours, but faith says it's mine. And faith is all the evidence that I need. Faith is the realization. Now go back to this because this is really good. It says, now faith is the substance or the realization or the thing that's tangible. Come on, faith is the thing that's tangible, that I know that I have it, the things that I'm hoping for. Now, I want to tie these together because we started to teach on hope a couple Sundays ago, and we're going to carry that on this Sunday unless the Lord changes it, which He does on me quite a bit. But hope is not wishing. So faith isn't the substance of thing that you're wishing for. Faith is the substance of the thing that you're hoping for. Now, what is hope? Hope is a goal out in the future that you have based on a promise that God has made. In other words, some translations say it's a confident expectation. So faith is the substance of the very thing that you're confident that you're going to get it. So hope is the goal, but the goal, hope is not, boy, I just see this as what God has promised me. I've heard a sermon on it. So therefore, I'm just going to say, I've got this, I've got this, I've got this, I've got this. But you don't really believe it in your heart. You're wishing that it would be true. For instance, God will meet all of my needs according to His riches and glory. But on the inside of you, you're going, I don't know how that's possible. I got a lot of bills. It seems like an impossible situation. Well, faith, and we're going to talk about where that comes from, but faith is the very thing that reaches into the promise of God, puts yourself right in the middle of that promise and say, based on what God has promised me, not based on, you know, just nothing out there, but based on what God has promised me, I am going to use that promise, come on, to be the very thing that makes my hope become a reality. It's very good. It's very good. I think that hope is the goal, but watch this. The Bible says that faith without works is dead, or faith without corresponding action is dead. Unless you're willing to do something about what you believe, then you really don't have faith. What do I mean by that? I mean, Peter had faith to get out of the boat, right? When Jesus was walking on the water, said, Lord, if you want me to come, come. And he got out of the boat. What pushed him out of the boat, or what made him get out of the boat, was that he had faith that if Jesus said, come, I could go, right? But then he watched the circumstances, which made him sink. But at least he did something about what he believes, right? So faith is the absolute key ingredient to walking without worry. Faith is the key ingredient to walking without fear. But we have to come to the place where we understand what faith is, because when we understand what faith is, where it comes from, that it can be developed, right? You might have a level of faith here, but it can be grown to a much higher level, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But what is faith? Faith is knowing or having an assurance that what God promised, He will do. And so, I don't need to see my needs met if I know that God has promised to meet them. I can have the evidence or the realization that that is true because I know that He said it and that it's for me. Here's where we get messed up a lot, is that we haven't spent enough time in your relationship with God and His Word to get to the point where you see that as your truth and not as somebody else's truth. It has to be come your truth. And how do you get there? We'll talk about that in more detail. But really the reality is, Lord, this is your promise. I'm going to be honest with you, Lord. I don't see how in the world that could be possible for me. I'm just going to be flat honest with you. But Holy Spirit, you're my teacher. So I'm going to spend time meditating on this promise until it becomes stronger and deeper on the inside of me, right? And the more that you can do that, the more that you do that, the more that you make that a realization, the stronger and the more developed your faith will be. Does that make sense? So it's like faith in Romans chapter 10, it says, so then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that is talking about people preaching the gospel and people getting saved by the preaching of the gospel. And they said, listen, how does people get saved? They get saved by faith, but faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the way that people get saved is somebody tells them. But the evidence comes when they take that personally and they say, you know, I need a Savior and I believe in my heart, and so I'm saying with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead. I don't know about you, but I didn't have, you know, any, I had a pretty good experience, but I didn't have any proof that I could go back to and tell my friends, well, listen, here is the evidence. You know, an angel came down and he wrote this out, and here's the heavenly parchment with gold leaf that proves that I'm saved. Here's my ticket stamp to heaven. I didn't have that physically, but in my heart, I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew that I was different after I said the prayer, right? So my evidence wasn't in an outside thing. My evidence was in my heart. You know, in my gut, in my knower, some people say. I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew. And so if we want to please God, we say, Lord, fill my knower up. And it's like with anybody else, it's not necessarily rocket science, and it's not so out there in the sky, well, oh boy, if I just have an experience with God, I'll have more faith. That could be true, but if we're waiting for experiences, then we're limited on how we can grow. In other words, I need a vision so I can have more faith. But here's the truth of the matter. Most people who have great faith got it because they went through something hard and God showed up. But God showed up first with the promise, and they walked through what they went through with the promise, believing in the goal or the hope that God was going to see them through this, and that the prize was going to be on the other side of the hope. Does that make sense? So faith, I believe faith is the motivator, where hope is the action. Hope is the action. In other words, I'm going to walk, and we talked about this, but with hope, there's three aspects to hope. The first aspect to hope is it has to be based on a vision or a goal. The second thing is there has to be a pathway to get to that goal. See, if you don't have a pathway, you're just wishing. So you're sitting at home and you're just, okay, God, whenever you want to do it, you can do it. And a lot of Christians, that's the way they define their faith. And the reality is once hope comes in, you go, okay, whatever it takes, I'm going to do my part, because I have this hope put in front of me, and my faith is the motivation. If I do my part, if I do what God has told me to do, then I'll get His part. Right? I can give you really a lot of examples to that, but tithing is one. God said He'd supply all of our needs, and if you notice that a lot of promises in the Bible have conditions to them. In other words, you do this, and I'll do this. We want to be blessed without doing. And so really what that indicates is we're wishing it would happen. Wouldn't it be nice if it happened? But we're not pursuing it. Here's the thing about a person who is hopeful and they have that dream before them. If they start down a road and it doesn't happen that way, they back up and say, well, that didn't work, so I'm going to go this way. And with the promises of God and with faith in God. We say, well, God, I see this reality in your word, but it hasn't come to full manifestation in my life. I just want to know, Lord, if there's a different pathway. Is there something in me that's keeping me from receiving fully your promise? And again, what is this? This is your relationship with the Holy Spirit. First of all, I think we'd be much better off if we were more honest with ourselves and with the Holy Spirit. In other words, Lord, I really believe that this is what your word says, but I'm not seeing it. I'm not feeling it. I'm far away from that. Jesus, if you were here today, you'd say, I'm one of those that has little faith. But I'm not going to keep or let where I am keep me from the hope that I have in your promise. I'm going to continue to grow in that hope. I'm a pathway, Lord. I'm going to keep meditating on your word. I'm going to keep finding what you said. For instance, and this is just a for instance, how many have ever struggled with fear in an area? You know, just something. I'm afraid of flying. I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of that. Did you know that fear is absolutely one of the things, and I think it's the main thing, that the devil would use on you to keep you from the blessing of God? For instance, you're afraid to fly. So therefore, I'm not flying. Well, maybe God wants you to go on a mission trip to Zimbabwe. Right? But you can't possibly go because that fear keeps you from the goal that God has set out before you. So what do you do with that? You get in the Word of God and you say, Lord, this is what your Word says. You say, fear not, for I'm with thee. Be thou not dismayed, for I am thy God. And over again, you find the Scriptures and you say, Lord, in my mind, fear keeps me from doing things, but I know in my heart that you want to communicate with me what your promises is, so that becomes more of a reality than the circumstances that I see. Is this making sense? So it's like, Lord, I need to get back to the place where I'm meditating on your word more than I'm meditating on the circumstances that are robbing me of my faith and of hope. Right? So if you don't want to do that, and most of us are lazy where that's concerned, I'll just be honest, then we're going to remain at the same faith level that we've always had. And that faith will get you to heaven. Bless God. That faith, you know, bless God, I'm on my way to heaven. And I'm not trying to guilt anybody and say, well, you are just so pitiful because you have no faith. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is faith is confidence in your relationship with God. That's what it is. Faith is your confidence in your relationship with God. Go to Mark chapter 11 and we'll see this. I don't want to have faith in my faith. Right? Man, I'm a man of faith. Well, whoop-de-doo. I want to be a man who knows God that causes me to be assured of what he says. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Mark chapter 11, and look at verse 22. And so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Let the substance of everything that you have set as a goal in life, as far as your relationship with God is, be in Him. Let your faith be in Him. And so your motivation for you receiving and walking in the promises of God is, my motivation is, He said it. I have a relationship with Him. God speaks to me. And some of us have, I mean, there are many Christians who say, well, God speaks to you. God speaks to all of us. In fact, if God doesn't speak to you, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. So if you don't know his voice, then are you really his sheep? Right? But again, don't get too wrapped up in that, because often he's speaking to us, we just don't recognize what he's saying. Right? And we don't access that by spending time with him. So really what I'm talking about, if you want to develop your faith, you can't do it outside of spending time with God and his word. It just won't happen. In fact, you can come to meetings, right? And you know, the anointing can be flowing and God will just dump on you. I've seen this happen over and over and over again. Well, somebody come up and there'd be a prayer line, and man, they get zapped. They get healed. They get healed, and they walk out of there, woo, glory to God. My back that was hurting is no longer hurting. Right? There was a manifestation of the Spirit. The gifts of healings were in operation, but by Wednesday, it's completely gone. Why? Because they received it on the manifestation. They didn't receive it on the assurance that God did it for them. Because when you know that God said it and God did it, that's all the evidence that you have to have that it's for you. So in other words, the symptom comes back and you just go, I don't care about the symptom. God's promised me. In fact, you begin to get mad at the evidence that's against what you're hoping for. Years ago, I mean, I started to have a bad back when I was in grade school. We played soccer and we played these drills where the coach put the ball in the middle and you had one line over here and one line over here. I don't know why they did this. And you ran toward the ball and you were supposed to kick the ball, see who got to the ball first. Well, me and this other fellow who was, you know, we were both about the same size. So we were both big boys, right? We got to the ball at the exact same time. So our feet locked together. And as soon as that happened, we both were out on the ground and I felt something in my back go, right? Something happened there. Well, from that day until I got saved and started meditating on the scripture, every once in a while my back would go out. But I got saved. I said, Lord, that's not me anymore, because by your stripes I'm healed. I thank you, God, that the same God, the same Jesus who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed to the devil is my Jesus, right? Meditating on that. And so, you know, for years I didn't have any back problems, none, zip, glory to God. But then came a day when all of a sudden I felt twing. And so what do I need to do with that? Does the twing negate what God has said and what God has done? No. But what I must do is I must go back to meditating on the Word of God, because I'm having faith in God that brought me the promise in the first place, and then speak to my back and speak to things that are trying to convince me something different than what God has said. Nope. Listen, you know, I feel the pain. I'm not ignoring the pain. I'm not saying that the pain isn't here. I'm not saying that there might not even be damage. But what I am saying is that by his stripes, I am healed. And that by his stripes, I am healed is the realization that I have that the promise will come to pass and my victory is on the other side of my hope. Come on, what is faith? Faith simply is having confidence in the God who's spoken to you. So have faith in God. If you don't get that part, the rest of this will not really fall into line. Because years ago, and we're going to go through this in a minute, but I have faith in God. And I translated that, well, have faith for healing. Have faith for prosperity. Have faith for this and have faith for that. And I realized that I was no longer having faith in the healer or in the provider. Do you see what I'm saying? So faith is born out of your relationship with God. Come on. And so he goes on to say, have faith in God, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. That's quite a promise. In fact, that's quite, I mean, if you really get outside of your religious box, you go, really? Really? Because if that's true, if Jesus really meant what he said, our relationship with God can put us in a place where whatever God purposes for our lives, if we'll speak into it, we can have it. I believe that's his will. I believe, do I have that? Is that a constant in my life? I don't think so. But part of the reason that it's not is because I haven't spent the time meditating day and night on his word like I should. I don't know about you, but he told Joshua in the book of the law, do not let the book of the law depart from thy mouth, but in it, therein, meditate day and night. And in Psalms chapter 1, the same kind of thing is taught. What does that mean? To meditate in the Old Testament means to mutter or talk to yourself. Talk to yourself about what God has said. Why? Because Holy Spirit is inside of us to reveal the Word of God to us. It's so good. And again, a story you've probably heard many times, but it's my story, so I'm going to tell it again. Years ago, I was going to Bible school, and I was on my bed, and I was just meditating in the Word. I had the gospel open to Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. And it says, if you being good or evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father? And it exploded on the inside of me. What was that? I was relating in my relationship with the Holy Spirit. I was spending time with Him based in His Word. And He made it come off of the page to me. It was so real to me and so alive on the inside of me. In fact, I went, and I'm kind of getting into the next point. There's a difference between heart faith and head faith. Heart faith is when you know and you're knower. Head faith is when you've talked yourself into something. But talking yourself into something won't always keep you. Because when you talk to yourself into something in your head, and then your head sees evidence that's contrary to what you've talked yourself into, you'll go, well, I guess that doesn't work. I guess that's not true. But when your heart, which is in communion with the Holy Spirit, finds a promise in God, you go, I don't care what it looks like. This is what God has said. Let me just give you an example of that, and I'll finish my story. How many in this room are saved? Right? I believe all of us are. So, but how many have ever felt like maybe you weren't? Because of your actions, it's like, oh, God, I don't even know if I'm saved anymore. I've been in places like that. It's like, God, I don't even know if I'm saved. Right? But watch, this is really important. I was saved. It didn't matter what I thought. I had not only an experience, right? But I have the Word of God that said, if you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and He's raised from the dead, you'll be saved. Come on. So I could go back to, no matter how I felt, I could go back to what the Word said and make that what I stood on. What I'm saying tonight is that we have to come back to viewing the Word of God out of relationship rather than out of a religious tradition. Holy Spirit, what are you saying in your Word? Have faith in God. Because if you have faith in God, then there are things that come out of that that will be supernatural in your life. And not just so we can be blessed, but so that we can be so blessed that we can bless others. And not just with money, but with everything. Listen to what he says. Again, verse 23, for assuredly, and this is in Mark 11, 23, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he'll have whatsoever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Did he say that? So it must be true. Right? Well, how come it's not working? I believe it's not working because we haven't really spent the time with the Holy Spirit in His Word and say, okay, now, Lord, here's your promise, and your promise makes sense to me, and I've got it up here, but I haven't settled it down here. But once it gets dropped into here, it will produce what God intended for it to produce. So what is faith? Faith is a relationship built with God that gives us confidence that His promises are for us and they will see us through to what His purposes are for us. Amen. Amen. So the circumstances, even though they can knock your boat around, can't keep you from what God has purposed in your life for. Because you know that you know that you know that God has talked to you about it. Well, listen to this now. Supernatural faith allows us to believe with the heart when our head or our feelings tell us differently. If you feel weak, you might feel weak, but if you know that the joy of the Lord is my strength, then you start to concentrate on the joy, knowing that the joy will bring the strength at the end, even though it doesn't make sense. Right? And it's not because of a magic formula. It's because that's what God said. That's what His Word said. His Word says that you can have a peace that passes all understanding. And it'll guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So what you do is you begin to meditate on that and you begin to take that as your reality, as your truth. And the more that you meditate on that, your goal is to have that in operation constantly, 24/7, that peace is the ultimate, that you're going to have that. But you start out where you are and you meditate on that. So when thoughts that are contrary to that come, you start working on that and you say, no, I'm not. Nope, nope, nope. And you continually talk to yourself about what the promise is. Maybe your bills are overwhelming, but you get into God's program and you figure out what the Holy Spirit has said and you begin to operate in it and you watch how God can make, man, I'm telling you, I'll just say this, that 90% with God is much more than 100% without Him. It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. And it's true in every area, right? I mean, the peace of God that passes all understanding. I've told you the story before, but it bears repeating that the fella had what I thought was a toy pistol, but it might not have been, in my belly and said, you know, give me all your money or I'm going to blow your head off. And there was a supernatural peace on the inside of me. And this is what I heard because I'd been spending time worshiping God. I heard this in my heart and it came up as a thought to my brain. Well, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, that's not normal. That's not natural. But because I'd been spending time in His Word and with Him, that's what came up out of me. So your reservoir of faith will not come any other way than you spending time with God and meditating on His Word. It's not a formula. It's a relationship. Does that make sense? Come on, it's a relationship. Okay, God, this is where we're at. This is what Your Word says. I don't quite see it, so show me. Faith is what motivates us to fulfill our hopes. People with hope accomplish goals. Come on. They're difference makers. What does that mean? I'm not talking about that you're going to become the next billionaire or anything like that. But somebody with hope can make the difference in somebody's life who has none. But how's that come? It doesn't come just because you're a good motivational speaker. It comes because you have a relationship with God that says, listen, Jesus loves you. And He's concerned about you right where you are. How do I know that? Because He's revealed Himself to me. And I know that God is with me. And whether I've been in your circumstances or not, I've been in circumstances like it. And I'm telling you, on the other side of what you're going through is the one who will get you through. Because I have that relationship with Him. Right? Glory to God. Glory to God. And again, there's a difference between heart faith and head faith. Go to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. God is so good. It's so good. My faith doesn't come just because I'm a man of faith. My faith comes because I'm a man with God. You know, some people would say, and I understand where it's coming from, He's a real man of God. And that's quite a compliment. But really, it needs to be born out of He's a man of God because He's a man with God. He spends or she spends time with God, and it's evident because their faith sees them through. Another story as you're turning to that. Years ago, Renita and I went through something that was horrific. We thought we were going to lose everything. It was just a horrific situation. But here I am, a faith man. I've been to Bible school. And a lot of my family are heathens, really. I mean, you know, they're all good people. I love them all. But when I say that, I'm affectionately saying they don't have the relationship with God that I have. That's really what I'm saying. And so in that condition, it's like we were going through this thing. I called out to God. I said, God, You're not looking good here. I'm a man of faith, and we're going through this. Why are we going through this? God, this doesn't even make sense. But He gave me some scriptures to stand on to help me get through it. He gave me, Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Behold, all those who are incensed against you shall be as nothing, a non-existent thing. Even though you're going to look for them, you will not find them. And man, over and over again, meditating on it. So got through the whole thing. And then years later, one of my sister-in-laws and Renita were talking. And that period of time came up. And they said, this is what they said. This is what they said. I was thinking, man, they must just really be questioning my faith. Because it didn't seem like my faith was working. But I didn't let those circumstances keep me from communing and talking with the God who was the object of my faith. And she said to him, she said, oh, we were all amazed at your faith. We were all amazed at how your faith brought you through that. And what the enemy meant to destroy, you guys came through because God was with you. Right? It doesn't always look like we want it to look. But John chapter 20 and verse 24. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord," was not with them, "seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see his hands and the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nail, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, the disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of, and said, "Peace to you." And then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." So here was Paul, Thomas, and he was saying, we call him Doubting Thomas, but what we're really talking about is Thomas is one who had his faith in his mind and not in his heart. So he said, like many of us say, "Well, I'll believe it when I see it." Right? "Well, God, this hasn't happened for me yet. So God, show me these things. I need to have my hand so that I can put it in his side because I saw that he was pierced. I need that, then I'll believe." And rather than get too religious about that, I think most of the time, if we're not spending time with God concerning whatever it is that we're going through, we put our faith in our head and we go, "I'll see it," or "I'll believe it when I see it. I'll rejoice when it comes to pass," rather than, "I'm rejoicing because I already have the evidence of it coming to pass because I have God's promise on it." See, that's where heart faith comes in. And then Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." I rely on this scripture a lot. "Lord, I may not have seen you. I may not have had a vision. I've heard somebody else had a vision and somebody else saw an angel and all of that. But Lord, I don't have to see it because you made yourself known to me. I believe it." So good. Now go to Romans chapter 4. I've got to hurry so we can close. Romans chapter 4. Oftentimes what we do, and I forget who this quote was from, but he said, oftentimes what we do is we substitute faith with mental assent. And what do I mean by that? Yeah, I believe that's what the Word says. I believe that's what the Word says. But yet, in our hearts, we don't really believe that's true for us. It might work for somebody else. We love the testimonies. Isn't that awesome that worked for them? And yet, but not for me so much. And the reason that is because we're mentally ascending to the Word rather than spending time with the Holy Spirit for Him to put that on the inside of us. We say, "Well, how long does it take?" Well, you got eternity. I said, you have eternity. So don't put God in a box or limit Him. Just say, "God, I'm just going to speak and meditate on this and meditate on this. And Lord, I'm sure throughout all eternity, I'll be getting more spiritual understanding from you anyway." So I'm not in this for the short run. I'm in it for the long haul, right? So, Lord, I'm just going to continue and continue and continue and continue. Here's what I found is that God will absolutely reveal Himself if you're seeking Him. "I need God, I need God, I need God. I need to hear from God, I need to hear from God, I need to hear from God." Well, how much time have you spent talking to Him? "I don't have time for that. I need to hear from God. I need to hear from God. I need to hear from God. I need it right now." I was laugh with you, but I've been there before. Right? Where, God, I need an answer, I need an answer, I need an answer, but I'm busy figuring this out by myself, and I'm not spending time with you and trusting you. So, anyway, verse 17. As it is written, I made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him, he believed God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, and listen to this verse, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Now listen, there's so much there, and I don't have time to get to it all. But what is faith? Faith is taking the promise of God. And again, it has to be personal. The promise of God has to be personal. I can't live on your testimony. Your testimony can encourage me, but I have to spend time with God for myself. I mean, like this. I mean, have any of you felt like, God, this isn't going right, so I must have done something to really screw it up. So I don't even know, God, if you're with me. Right? I don't know if you've ever felt like that. I have. And it's like, no, the reality is, as he said, he would never leave me nor forsake me. He said that if I came to him in Jesus' name, he'd answer me. He said I could come boldly before his presence in the throne of grace to find help in my time of need. So what I need to do is I need to take the things in my head that aren't lining up with what he said and throw those aside and start putting in my heart, no, I don't care what I said, this is what is the reality. Against hope, I need to believe in hope, just as Abraham did here. And not being weak in faith, I need to be strong in faith. But again, my faith is, again, faith is born out of your relationship with God and his word. Listen, I don't have a doubt in my heart that when I die, I'll go to heaven. But sometimes my head will question. What do I need to do at that point? I need to go back to my heart. I need to go back to the word that I found, or when God spoke to me about that, and reacquaint with that. Amen? So what is faith? I'm going to read this again out of Hebrews chapter 11, and this again is the Passion Translation. Now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things longed for. It's the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. I'll read it one more time. Now faith brings our hope into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It's the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. Glory to God. Lord, I thank you. Even tonight, Lord, that you're leading us and guiding us. And Lord, faith is of you. It's a gift from you. But Lord, the more we exercise our relationship with you, the more assurance that we can have that what you've spoken to us, what you've promised to us, is true. So tonight, Father, we just come before you. And we want to tell you that we believe in you. We don't need to see your nail prints. We don't need to see the spear mark, Jesus. We believe you're exactly who you said you were. You're the one who saved us. You're the one who forgave us. You're the one who paid the price for our sins, for our shortcomings. And Lord, it's by faith that we enter into the grace that you've given to us. So tonight, whether you're watching on the internet, if you're here and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, talk to God and ask him to come in. Put it in your own words and just say, Lord, I believe in my heart. And so I'm confessing with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. And God, you raised him from the dead. And I ask you to become my Lord and my Savior. And God, I just ask you to speak to my heart. Reveal yourself to my heart. If you do that with all sincerity, he will do it. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your word. And Lord, we're going to act on your word. We thank you for the anointing that's upon your word. And we thank you, Lord, for your presence here. Father, I pray for every person that's watching that if they need healing, Father, that you would touch them. If they need provision, you'd provide for them. If they need answers, God, you'd direct them. And Lord, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's good, isn't he? Hallelujah. So we just take a second so that they can get off the live stream. God's good.